This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Someone has a pick for Trump's VP, wants to know about my final days in the Marine Corps getting crucified. We're going to talk a little bit more about the State of the Union last night, the electoral process, and why Douglas MacArthur has a Medal of Honor. All that, hopefully more, coming up in one final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And then we're out of here until Monday. So let us begin with the beginning, and I'm going to get to as many of these as humanly possible, and let's go. Shogun Oracle, you got to an email about who Trump should pick for VP. Hear me out. Winsome Sears, Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, veteran, Second Amendment defender, right on the issues. Plus, she's a black woman, so it'll drive Democrats insane. What do you think? Well, I love Winsome Sears. I differ from most people in that I despise identity politics, all of it. If you tell me it's Winsome Sears just because she's awesome, then I'm great with that. If you tell me we have to pick Winsome Sears because she's a black woman, or just because she's black, or because she's a woman, I hate that stuff. I despise it. I don't put any stock in it whatsoever. I don't even understand. I don't think I've ever really seen that work for the right the way it works for the communist. That divide and conquer stuff works better for him than it does for us. But that's just one man's opinion. Hey, Jesse, if you had a choice to live with only stupid people or be tortured for days before being crucified, which one would you pick? Do you think Jesus got off easy? No, I don't think he got off easy by any stretch of the imagination. I live with stupid people every day. I work with Chris and Michael. I've proven I can handle that. What I don't want is to have my skin ripped off. So I'm going to pass on that. Jesse, did you see what Trump said about the vaccine? I'm so mad about it. Okay. Yeah, I meant to get to this last hour. Let's just get to this really quickly. I just don't see any point in staying on this. Last night, today, actually, early in the morning, it was like 5 a.m., Trump got on social media and said this. This is what he said. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning a setback into a comeback. You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken. Okay. All right. I'm not going to spend any time on this. Why bother with this? I'm just going to say, obviously, that's an awful, awful thing to say while people are suffering mightily from the effects of that vaccine that should have been pulled off the market. That's an awful thing to say. I'm not going to bother saying anything more because it doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter. Primary's over. It is what it is. So it doesn't do any good to sit and take shots at the nominee. Never going to get a vaccine reckoning. Just that's the way it goes. Shogun, I know you don't like to predict too far in the future when it comes to elections. I'd like the procedural question about the electoral process, not saying it's likely. Would it be legal if the turbo freaks on the left actually do land a knockout blow on Trump, like, God forbid, doing something violent to him? Ugh. Can Don Jr. simply inherit his campaign assets and take his spot? No. Let's hope nothing like that happens. If something were to happen, maybe let's call it medical, because he is an older man, 77 or something like that, where Donald Trump couldn't be the nominee. There are all kinds of rules in place. Essentially, the RNC They would have to nominate somebody with it's a long process. There will be no primary redos. And yes, they could do somebody like Don Jr. And gosh, in a situation like that, you'd almost have to. It would almost have to be another Trump. It would be, oh, it would be so bad. Jesse, I just watched the father get placed into handcuffs for yelling about his son who was murdered at Abbey Gate during the State of the Union. The question I have is, at what point is it appropriate to pop smoke and get out of this country? In history, there has always been a time for a well-timed retreat. When do you say, all has fallen, it's time to build elsewhere? Says, I can say his name. His name is Austin. Well, not yet. Not yet. And I have an advantage that maybe you don't have. We talked about this before. And that I have not only lived many places, I still travel from time to time. I don't travel a bunch. I like seeing new places. I like eating new places. After all, it's me. Prefer my own bed and whatnot anymore. But I do travel for work. Got to meet the suits here. Got to fly here. Got to fly to LA. Got to fly to New York. Got to go to Chicago. Got to go to Nebraska. So I bounce around a lot. And so I guess that kind of travel gives me more hope than maybe you have. And allow me to explain. You stay, if you live in a bubble that is a blue bubble, and how many people right now are listening to me in San Diego, California, right? Lots. And you're surrounded by blue. Your city is blue. Your state is blue. You have no chance whatsoever during the next statewide election to win anything, and you know that. They're busy passing laws through your state legislature that are going to guarantee them the right to steal your child from you if you don't agree that your boy's turning into a girl, right? So if you're in that situation, right, you're in California, you're in New York, you're in that kind of a situation, what you're missing, what you can't see is all the millions and millions and millions of Americans and huge pockets of America that are nothing like that at all. Nothing like that at all. There are huge parts of this country that are still so wonderful and normal. And look, are the commies getting involved there too and running for school boards and putting drag queens in the public library for the kids? Of course, yes. I'm not acting like they're not infiltrating the good parts, but man, there are so many good parts. You know what? I brought up that I'd gone to a couple concerts recently, and I brought up the Houston Rodeo. You know how I've encouraged you to get out there and put yourself in public situations, and myself, I'm as much talking to me. Well, also remember, part of that is putting yourself in situations where you're surrounded by like-minded people to remind yourself that like-minded people are out there. That's why I've encouraged you to go to Trump rallies. Go to NRA events. I don't even like the NRA. They're too soft for me on guns, but go to an NRA event. Go to a big hunting event. Go to a rodeo. You want to feel better about your country? Go to a rodeo. Go to whatever. There's a million rodeos. It doesn't have to be a big, you know, more commercial one like the Houston Rodeo. Go to a rodeo. Go see how polite everyone is. It's not most people. Everyone polite. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Oh, do you need that? No fights breaking out. Never any fights breaking out anywhere. Never any garbage behavior. Solid human beings. When you start saying things to me like, when do we leave? Where do we go? Jesse, I want to move to Portugal. And look, I'm not dogging on Portugal, even though it's a worthless country. I am saying this, though. You need to first spend some time out of your blue bubble to be reminded of how much of this country is still wonderful. And this is me. I'm not sugarcoating any problems. Believe me, I know we got problems.
I was on Investing in Family Farms, led by my Secretary of Agriculture, who knows more about this than anybody I know.
Jeez, I can't. I know we have problems, all right? I'm well aware of the problems. I know there's so much of this country that is still great, absolutely great, all right? European paintball assassin. What's the likelihood a Trump election win will be followed by enough House reps not voting to certify him? What happens next? His name is Corey. Look, if Trump pulls out this November election, right? If Joe Biden goes down in flames and Trump wins the election, I don't know what exactly the left's reaction is going to be specifically, but I know it's going to be horrific. They're going to do that. You thought it was bad last time. I thought it was bad last time. Look, we looked on in horror at the way these children conducted themselves last time. That was the appetizer for how this goes the next time. And again, it's because these people are always trying to figure out what they can get away with. It's going to be wild. No matter what happens this year, it's going to be wild. Just buckle up for that. And buckle up for something else. Obviously, Roe versus Wade got talked about last night as well. You're going to have to hear a lot of pro-abortion stuff this year because it wins elections for Democrats. It does. And you should understand this. It's sobering, but you should understand it, that the number of abortions in America went up since the overturning of Roe versus Wade. In red states, they went down, but the overall number of abortions in America went up. Why? It's because of the pill, the abortion pill. They have shifted tactics. Now they're doing telehealth appointments. Most abortion clinics in America are a young lady's bathroom where they're taking these horrible pills and killing their babies and sometimes themselves. That's why we stick with preborn. Our battle isn't over. We've had some wonderful wins, but we have so many more hearts we need to turn. We do that with the power of ultrasound. When a young woman hears that heartbeat, she chooses life almost every time. That's what you're doing when you give to preborn. You're saving a baby that is about to be aborted. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give $28 and save a baby. Preborn.com/Jesse, sponsored by Preborn. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. That's a great jam, Chris. It is a great jam. I love the Beatles. It is a Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Warrior, my Medal of Honor question is on General Douglas MacArthur. Why was he awarded the Medal of Honor for battles in the Philippines when he was either on a ship or thousands of miles away? He sent the Marines and the Army to Palau for 2 months to prepare for the Philippines. There was no reason to be there because we could cut off their ships and air power from landing there. He says, I can say his name. His name is Rick. Okay, first of all, let's address the last part of what Rick said there. There was no need to be in Palau. What he's talking about there, we're getting ready to invade the Philippines. This is towards the back end of World War II, right? The Palau Islands, it's Peleliu. Okay, there's a few of them there, but Peleliu, you've heard of Peleliu, one of the more horrific battles. I'm not going to go into history right now, don't worry. One of the more horrific battles in the history of American warfare. It was just a really, really ugly thing. And part of what made Peleliu so ugly, this is why so many GWAT veterans are so bitter to this day. Virtually all my GWAT veteran friends are this way. Peleliu wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary at all, and most people kind of knew it. They had originally thought, okay, we need to take Peleliu because we'll need to have the air power taking off from Peleliu to try to support the Philippine campaign, but we had ended up taken over other things. I won't go into the details of it now, so that by the time we got to Peleliu, there was no need to take Peleliu. And let me... Obviously, you understand, everyone listening understands, I'm not the biggest Douglas MacArthur fan in the world, to put it mildly. Very rarely will I defend Douglas MacArthur. However, when it comes to Peleliu, I do kind of have to defend Douglas MacArthur. Why? Because Douglas MacArthur agreed that it was unnecessary and even said, this is kind of unnecessary. We don't need this anymore. We should dump this. the person, the high brass who's most responsible for the death of the deaths on Peleliu, and Peleliu was a living hell. If you were to take me and if you were to point to every single Pacific campaign island and tell me which one was the one you would least want to fight in, look, they were all hell. Every one of them was a living hell, but I would tell you Peleliu is the one I would fight want to fight in the least. It was Chester A. Nimitz's fault. It was Nimitz's idea. And in fact, it wasn't just MacArthur. It was people who were under Nimitz when Peleliu was getting ready to kick off who were telling Nimitz, we don't have to go here. Why are we here? Why are we going here? There's no need. And there's not really. And I'm a Nimitz fan. I hate MacArthur. I love Nimitz. I'm a Nimitz fan, so I'm not dogging on him. But there's never been to this day a decent explanation emerge why he insisted on it. All he kept telling people back then who kept telling him not to was, well, it's already underway, as if we can't stop it or turn things around. The horrors on Peleliu are beyond comprehension. It was one of the places where it was really the first place where the Japanese learned to go underground. Really, really underground. Like Iwo Jima. You know about Iwo Jima. We've talked about it before. Mount Suribachi. You can picture Iwo Jima. If not, just look at a picture of it right now. There's one big fat mountain on it. That's Mount Suribachi. And what made Iwo Jima so uniquely horrible was the Japanese didn't set up on top. They set up inside of it. All these tunnels and honeycombs. And they tunneled underground like rats. And it made Iwo Jima a living hell. Where did they learn that? Where did they learn to master that? Peleliu, they went down into the ground. We had all this aerial reconnaissance, and it was showing not much on the island. We didn't think there were many people there. We didn't know how many people were there because they were underground. They were not only underground, there were some of the most hardened Japanese troops, and so many Marines and soldiers died on that island, and we didn't have to fire a shot there. And look, I love to blame everything on MacArthur. Peleliu was not MacArthur's fault. Peleliu was Nimitz's fault. And I love Nimitz, again. Now, as far as why MacArthur won the Medal of Honor, look, let me just tell you something. And you know we do Medal of Honor Monday every Monday. The start of the second hour. You can go download a podcast of every Monday podcast we've ever done. Start of the second hour, we do a Medal of Honor citation. So we love honoring the heroes and things like that. But when I'll put it to you this way. When I first joined the Marines, when you first get into the fleet, the Marine fleet, that's what they call it. When you're done with boot camp and done with your secondary school, which mine was an infantry school because I was in the infantry. But when you're done with your secondary school, then you go out into the main Marine Corps, and it's known as the fleet. We call it the fleet. I had a salty old Marine. We were having a couple beers one night. This is one of the nights where he wasn't making me do push-ups and stuff. And he was telling me something, and he dropped a wonderful bit of wisdom on me. And it went something like this. He said, Jesse, let me tell you something. There are three things you can absolutely never trust. A man with an Adam's apple, a gallon of milk with a bad smell, and a high-ranking officer that has a Medal of Honor. Look, the brass, it's one of those jokes inside of the military, especially in combat units. It's a half joke. It's a tongue-in-cheek joke, but it's one of those things that's always been understood in times of combat. I can picture the Vietnam guys nodding their head because they know what I'm about to say. All the GWAT guys know what I'm about to say. The officers, it's not that there haven't been lions who've deserved medals, but the officers love to put themselves in for medals. They just love it. It's one of those things. Look, when I see an enlisted guy, when I see some staff sergeant, some gunnery sergeant with a chest full of ribbons and medals, I think to myself, dang, look at that beast. I wouldn't want to cross that guy. I'll be frank. When I see a general with that, I roll my eyes. Did he earn many of those things in his youth? Yeah, probably. Probably. I instinctively, when I see a general, an admiral, and I see top brass with all these medals and ribbons, I think, oh gosh, here we go again. another officer handing medals to his buddies and getting those medals handed back. Anyway, let's discuss, actually, before we get back to Biden and the media, my final days in the Marines. What's that like, checking out? You ever been curious about that? I'll tell you. Before I get to that, let me get to this. Let's get to caring for our personal health. You know, we talk about legal and local. Elections are all legal and local. We start local, then we expand out from there. Well, the most local thing in the world is your own body. If you can't get healthy, get your mind right, get your vitality right, then you're not going to be able to save your community, your state, and you're dang sure not going to be able to save your country. Start a natural herbal supplement routine with Chalk. I have one of those 7-day pill dispenser things like really old people use when you got to organize your medications later. My male vitality stack is in that. So every day with my breakfast, I sit down, breakfast, male vitality stack every day, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Gosh, take it for a year and tell me how you feel. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks in Chad mode in the works. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you missed any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get to as many of these as possible. Symmetrical underpacker, lord of the queso, harvester of communist aspirations. One of my many regrets in life is that I never served in the military. I'm too old to enlist now, but I've often wondered what it would have been like. That said, will you tell us about your last day in the Marine Corps? How does it work when you get discharged? Do you turn in your stuff and drive out the gate or whatever? Where did you go in your first minutes and hours? What was your first meal? Did you miss it? Anyway, freedom is not free. He said I can use his name. Jason and Olivia is the name of his dime. All right. Jason and Olivia. All right. Well, I had, you know, have you ever gotten this feeling in life that God smiles on you? You ever had that feeling from time to time? Or maybe you felt like that's most of your life? I will tell you, there's no one in the world who deserves one of God's smiles less, but there's nobody who's received his smiles more. And let me explain one incredible example, and it's about my checkout of the Marine Corps. You ready for this? Okay. So we get back from Iraq. We had deployed during the Iraq invasion, you know, and we were over there. It was like 8, 9, 10 months, something like that. And then our deployment was over. They'd finally found a unit to relieve us. So they brought us down to Kuwait and they took us back from Iraq. And okay, now we're back in the States. And there is, I want you to think of us like a class. You come in with a class of people from School of Infantry. So you join with kind of a huge group of guys. So my unit, which was 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company. Alpha Company, when I got there, you know, the night, the weeks, the couple weeks I got there, all kinds of guys got there. It was obviously time where Alpha Company was going to get a bunch of reinforcements, if you will. So you get to know your class of guys really, really well. We get back from Iraq. And I forget the exact timing of it, but I think it was 5 or 6 months maybe after we got back that we were scheduled to EAS. That's end of active service. We were scheduled to get out. We were my class, we were all getting out 4, 5, 6 months after we got back. Okay, so that's good. Okay, we're all done. We're all combat veterans now. We're ready to go home. We're done. Except the Marine Corps now has ramped up, just like the Army did, just like everyone did. They've realized, okay, we're in a war. Remember, this is the beginning of the Iraq war. We have a war in Afghanistan. We have a war in Iraq. So we have to change our training. We are now in a constant state of warfare training. Whatever our infantry units are, they will see combat. Not that they might. Everyone's going to see combat. So the training cycle picked up. And there's more and more and more and more and more to do. So when we got back, we're not going to see another deployment. We don't have enough time left. But what we were going to see was intense levels of combat training, because that's how you have to do it in the Marines. And that was awful for guys who knew they were never going to go back. Yeah, you want to train the guys who were going to go, but you don't want to murder yourself when, brother, you're already half a civilian by that point in time. You're getting ready to check out. Are you with me? So you remember I told you they had made me a cop. They'd made me a cop shortly before. I won't go into the details of it. Chris and Michael get immature every time I bring it up. It's called a FAP, where you get FAPped to a different unit. Why don't you guys grow up? Anyway, they had made me be a cop at another point in the Marines. We got back, and because of all the chaos with deployment, this is going to come back to how I got out. Stay with me. They made me go be a cop again, but only for a few months, because I was getting ready to get out. All my buddies are going through this living hell training, and I get to be a cushy cop for my last few months on base. And of course, whenever my buddies were out on a brutal hump or something like that, or a gas mask run, I would make it a point to be in my patrol car. And you know, you have a speaker, you can speak to people. I'd be driving by them. Man, it looks brutal out there. Gosh, I got to turn down the AC in here. And they'd be screaming at me and throwing stuff at my car. It was the best. Anyway, so long story short, it's about time for me to get out, to EAS, to get out. Well, I'm not part of the cops unit. I'm part of my home unit, my infantry unit, 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company. So I have to go do a bunch of paperwork where I will officially fill out this form and that form and that form and that form. And then I have to go to 1st Battalion, 7th Marines and fill out their forms in order to leave. Well, there was all kind of confusion because it's in the government. I go check out of my cop unit, and they're all, okay, well, you have to check in with your 1st Battalion, 7th Marines unit on this date. And I looked, and the date was 3 weeks away. And I said, I told them, said I didn't want to get in trouble. You always have to be where you have to be. You don't just leave. I said, no, that date's 3 weeks away. It should be today. Like, you check out of one unit, you check into another. You don't remain unitless. You need a, no, it should be today. They said, Marine, there's a lot of confusion going on right now. Just check in on that date and shut your mouth. And I said, okay. And so my last 4 weeks in the Marine Corps, three of those weeks were bouncing around base, visiting all my old friends, living it up with all my buddies, going out of town anytime I wanted to go out of town, absolutely having the time of my life. And it's not supposed to be like that at all. By the time my check-in date came, I went, checked in. To answer your question, I had very minimal gear, but you have to turn in all your gear. And traditionally, the military makes it awful. They will charge you for things that got damaged during combat. And what turning in your gear is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. You don't just show up and say, I don't have one of my gloves. No, it's a nightmare. But you turn in your gear and then you go. What, Chris? No, I didn't have a buddy steal a magazine. He illegally brought a full one home. We'll talk about that in a second. But to answer your other question, okay, so I check out. The day you check out, all your stuff is there. It's kind of bittersweet. You've been thinking about that day for a long time, but I can still picture it. That's how much it left it left something on me. I'm driving out of the gate, 29 Palms, California. I'm alone now. I've been with my boys for 4 years, my buddies. I'm alone, and I'm not going to where they are. We're not leaving town together. We're not hanging out. I'm going back, and I'm going to go work construction and try to make a life for myself. And I was very, very thrilled to be there. But it was very, very weird. I will put it to you that way. And to answer Chris's question about the magazine, that was a different story. When we were coming back from Iraq, they have all these endless inspections to make sure you're not bringing live ammunition back, No magazines full of live ammo, no grenades, no war souvenirs. And they will check you and check you and check you and check you and check you. And they checked every nook and cranny. And somehow we got back to base that night when we finally got back from Iraq. And one of my buddies, no idea, wait a minute, dumps out a full magazine. Full mag. Full mag. And people ask all the time, what'd you do with it? What'd you do with it? Well, you don't go turn it in. Then you get in trouble for turning it in. We did what anyone would do. We ran immediately outside, and the barracks were like four stories tall, and we took this magazine and threw it as high as humanly possible so it landed on the top of the barracks where no one can ever find it. And here we are. It's what is it, March 8th, 2024? That day was probably 20 years ago, I would guess, to this day. And I bet you money that magazine, a full mag, a full M16 mag, is probably still sitting on the roof of some barracks building in 29 Palms, California. How about that? I can't imagine who that was who would do such a thing. Anyway, we have one final segment left. We're going to talk about, well, as many of these emails as we can possibly get to. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show here on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to get through as many of these as I possibly can. Let's just remember the State of the Union from last night.
Yes, I'm having difficulty controlling the volume of my voice.
Let's also remember the GOP response.
Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan. Will you be an angel for a helpless animal? Every day, innocent animals are abused.
It was a heavy, heavy night. Let's also remember the controversy from illegal immigration. Let's remember, let's write these words on our heart this weekend. Remember what Delia Ramirez said when friends are trying to talk politics with you. Give this right back to
her. El presidente dijo ilegales. Lo dijo las mismas palabras que escucho yo que dicen mis colegas republicanos. Tal vez se confundió lo que sea, pero en ese micrófono escuchar al presidente decir, cuando hablando de la frontera, esos ilegales, se siente muy, honestly, disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Sí, señorita. Sí is what I have to say to that. You know what else I have to say? Your dog, he's dying. I'm just kidding. Your dog's probably fine, but your dog is going to die early if you don't give your dog some nutrition. And there's no nutrition in your dog's food. I know that's hard to believe because you buy the special. We buy the special salmon blend. It's still brown, isn't it? It's brown, isn't it? Be honest. It's because it's dead. They kill everything in dog food. American dogs die before they should because we give them dog food. Pour rough greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement with all the things your dog needs to live healthier and longer, years longer. Call them. They have free Jumpstart trial bags. You'll see a difference in your dog. My dog used to have digestive problems every meal, every single meal. No more. He used to get ear infections all the time. No more. 833-33-MY-DOG gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Or you can call them roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? All right.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Hey, Jesse, I am 14. I just started working a full-time job every weekend. I was wondering, since I'm on the journey to adulthood, can I get your opinion on whether or not we should raise or lower the voting age? And he says his name is Weston. All right, Weston, you don't have a full-time job. You have a weekend job. All right? We call those people hippies. You, however, get an excuse because you're only 14 years old. The fact that you have a weekend job means you're probably a stud. It also, though, means at the age of 14, ideally, in my world, I wouldn't allow you to vote for probably another 30 years. But here in the United States of America, they're going to allow you to vote in 4 years. Just make sure you always vote the right way and not for dirty communist Democrats, okay? Just always stay away from commies. And Weston, allow me to give you this last little bit of advice. Don't marry a communist either. It matters a lot. So now that you're 14, I have no doubt that girls have gone from being really gross to really awesome really quickly. Don't let some hot commie seduce you. You hold out for a good woman, all right? All right. Oracle, yesterday's Medal of Honor brought me to tears. Are there any heroes out there today? Is anyone ready to stand for what's right? There are all kinds of heroes out there today. All kinds of heroes. In normal everyday life, they're all throughout the military as well. There are, we brought up state troopers, firefighters. There are all kinds of heroes out there today. Don't think that all the heroes are from yesteryear. There are plenty of them. Pinkalicious Oracle, did you ever play baseball or football? If so, what position and were you good? I'm 12. I listen to your show every day. I played baseball. I did not play football. I was too skinny. I probably should have just played football, too, because, man, I sucked at baseball. I was just dreadful at baseball. I played more basketball than anything else. I'm so tall. My dad had a full ride to play basketball. Like, he was that kind of an athlete. He's a lot thicker than I was, though. He had a full ride to play football, too. He's one of those guys. And he always dreamt of having an athlete, and then he got stuck with me. Sorry about that, Dad. Anyway, no, I played basketball for years. I could hold my own is what I'll say. If you saw me play basketball, you would understand that I know how to play. I certainly was not about to go pro or play college. I was way too lazy. I didn't practice enough. Jesse, I agree the FBI needs to be dismantled and eliminated, but won't 70-year-old former president billionaire Donald Trump just give us another Christopher Wray? Look, if Donald Trump is able to win this election, Donald Trump is going to have to hire people in a way that he has not done before. He is going to have to become an incredible selector of personnel. He is going to have to select only the best reformers. There can be no deals to be struck with the communists. He must elect outsiders who want to come in and gut this system the way it has to be gutted in order to save our way of life. Can he do that? I don't know. Only time will tell. Only time will tell. Last time, the hiring was a disaster. We cannot afford part two of this. Hopefully, he sees that from last time. And look, all we can do is pray. Jesse, I'm sitting here thinking about you in a pristine hotel lobby bathroom. It occurred to me you're still in the market for a truck. Would you consider a cyber truck? I don't know what a cyber truck is. How am I supposed to drive it if it's on the internet? That's one. Two, I'm test driving another truck this weekend because I still am in the market for a truck. I already test drove the GMCs. I tried to test drive the Fords, but I guess because of the strike, the 24s weren't out yet. I'm going to test drive a Dodge this weekend. I'm a little concerned about test driving a Dodge. You know, it's like an uncle said to me once, be careful with a Dodge. It's fine if you want to ride around the back roads with it, but you don't want to get out on the main street with it. So I don't know. I've never owned a Dodge. I don't know about Toyota, Chris. I know they're nice, but the last time I got in one, it didn't have the headroom for me. I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting. Anyway, I'm still looking. Jesse, if Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't speak up, who would? A low-T GOP guy? I'm glad she did. It takes guts, female guts. And her name is Mary. I like this lady already. She did. Marjorie Taylor Greene deserves all the credit in the world. She's the reason Joe Biden had to say this young lady's name.
It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed.
He's also the head football coach at USC. Let us give the best to the Trojans as they go through this difficult time. It would be nice if the president of the United States of America could get the girl's name right, who he's responsible for, you know, her being murdered, but it is what it is. Dear future recipe book writer, Democrat media often claims Biden has accomplished more in his first term than any president in the modern era. Do you think Obama seethes? That's a hard word to say. At this? No. Obama has always been and remains a committed America destroyer. Barack Obama, the reason he was so effective is because he's so intelligent and he was so good at operating the levers of government to destroy. That's really what he's good at. I can acknowledge when my enemy is talented. Obama doesn't care what they have to say about Joe as long as Joe gets to stay in there and keep destroying everything Obama wants destroyed. Now, enough of that garbage. Put your phone away and go enjoy your weekend, okay? That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.